CliffCentral.com. Welcome back to the good stuff, Cliff Central's very own happy hour with myself, Brent Lindekue, the good news guy. I've got Kerry sitting next to me, the good news girl. What's up, Kerry?
Morning.
Say hi to all our listeners out there.
Hey, am I on?
You are on. I've put the microphones on. We're all on. We're good to go. Yeah, man, it's Tuesday and you're live with the good stuff. It's Cliff Central's very own happy hour and it's South Africa's happy hour as well. That's what we call it. Your happy hour too. There's so much going on in South Africa that I just want to touch on. It really isn't anything that we focus on, but it's stuff that is relevant. So fees must fall process seem to have no end in sight. And with that said, the leadership in our country is needed right now. I have no idea where the people in charge are that should be taking charge of these things. We desperately need them. It's desperate times. In the main headlines this morning, when I was busy prepping for the show, I checked out what was going on. And I promise you, these are the buzzwords. State capture, Guptas, crime, corruption, violence, and that was my laptop, which is not in the mainstream media. But those are all the things that are being discussed in our news. And I have to tell you that we're not going to discuss any of that.
No.
Today. Today is all about the good stuff. There's so much more happening in South Africa that we can bring you. Thuli Madonsela might have left office, but she's continuing to fight for what's right, even without the title. We're going to touch on that. Communities are standing up to bullies. That's another story that we're going to chat about. And there's students that are standing together at UCT against the fees must fall, and they're helping someone who was affected by the fees must fall. So it's quite an interesting story. So inspired, so flippin' amped to be here today. The weekly show, we just try and bring a real smile to your dial and give you something better to be talking about when you're at the water coolers and dinner tables. We also get to chat to Michael Stevens today from Jumping Kids. It's an association, a non-profit, that provides prosthetic solutions to those who need it most. Disadvantaged children and some of those incredible kids that they've helped went to the Paralympics this year.
Yes.
Some of those kids might have won gold. Actually,
it's so amazing,
which is quite exciting. And then we also get to chat to Gavin Sinclair. Gavin Sinclair, he cycled from Cape to Cairo, cycled on a bicycle for the past year for charity. His phone's off at the moment, but we've scheduled a phone interview with him, so we're hopefully going to get hold of him in a little bit. If you guys want to join the conversation, you can visit cliffcentral.com. Because that's where you tune in. Or you can get involved on Twitter on CliffCentral.com, myself, Brent Lindekue, or Kerry Stain.
Hey.
Are we good to go?
Yes,
you can give us a call as well on 0861-555-189. I nearly forgot the number. Fiona Ney says she's listening in. We've also got Mark who's listening in. Great to have you guys here. I'm switching off Facebook Live now. So that's the warning that Facebook Live is going off. Go to CliffCentral.com to tune in right now. This is the good stuff on Cliff Central. I had to end it like that because you know that they keep...
I know, you keep running out of airtime. Ugh,
I run out of airtime and then people think, what the hell is going on? All right, Kerry, so much going on, so much to catch up with. I got to tell you.
Yes.
So, we'll call this the honesty box.
Okay.
Because I'm going to be honest. And I don't want you to judge me.
I don't judge anybody.
We can't have any
judgment.
We can't.
Ever.
We cannot have any judgments.
I'm the least judgmental when
we have the honest box going on. I don't even have a song for the honest box. I was like, what? Where's the honest box? So there we go.
It's the honesty box.
I haven't been to the dentist in 13 years.
What? I'm not judging you.
I feel like you kind of are, but...
No, I'm quite surprised because you've got really nice teeth.
Well, this is the thing, right? So, I haven't been to the dentist in 13 years. And when I got back recently from overseas, I had this really weird pain in the back of my mouth to the left at the top. So, I thought it was because I'd found this new toothpaste in London that I'd bought while I was there. I ran out of toothpaste.
And you were like, what's going on?
And I bought like this fancy whiten your teeth stuff, what?
Yes.
So, I thought perhaps this had
was
done something to
your
me.
Teeth?
It had done something to me.
Have you had
me.
Your wisdoms removed?
I have, yes.
Okay.
I have, yes. So, I had to go to the dentist. And I haven't been in 13 years. So, I booked at the dentist. It was a recommendation. A friend of mine said, I have to go to this lady who's out in Sunninghill.
Yes.
Her name's Fiona.
I've heard of her.
So I booked and I went through to the dentist last week and I got into like her room. She's very lovely, very lovely lady. And she said to me, lie down.
Oh.
And I said to her, no, we first need to unpack a couple of things. First of all, I'm scared of you.
That's so cute.
So that's the first thing we're going to say. Secondly, I haven't been to the dentist in 13 years. So whatever's going on in my mouth, it's a shit show. Like, this could perhaps be the worst thing you've ever, ever seen.
No.
So she said to me, Brent, I've been doing this for many years.
Yes, and she's probably...
I've seen it all.
Yes.
I've seen it all.
Mm-hmm.
Lie down, boy.
Lie down, boy.
So I lay down on the chair and like that because the finger's on your mouth. And she was like digging around and you heard that cling, cling, cling when they're like on your teeth.
And then tick, 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 tick.
That sort of sound. And then she went, oh my God.
Oh no.
Oh my God.
What now?
And I was laying there going, wow. Like, what now?
And probably like...
nervous as all hell. So she said to me, you're a liar. There's no way that you haven't been to the dentist in 13 years.
Do you see?
You have the most perfect teeth I have ever seen in my career. They are healthy and perfect. And I cannot believe you haven't been to the dentist in 13 years.
Why did you come here and waste my time?
Well, no. Now what she said is I must go and just get a cool little clean once a year.
Yeah,
and she's really fun, man. They've got like, you lie down on the chair and there's MTV playing on the roof.
That's so awesome.
And she's funny and she made me feel comfortable. And she like...
So what was the pain?
There was a little hole in my tooth or whatever. Okay. But she was quite excited because she said it was
because
like,
it was like breaking
my virginity because it was the first filling that I'd ever had in my whole entire life at 31 years old. So not bad.
High five.
High five.
Yes.
Yeah. So that's my catch up. I'm no longer afraid of the dentist. And if you guys want the coolest dentist in the whole flipping country, I'll give you her details because I was that amped.
Oh, that's so awesome.
Hey.
Yeah. Guess what?
And I faced my fears.
You faced your fears and you did it. And she was quite demanding, it sounds.
No, she's cool, man. She was a really...
Lie down, Brent.
No, well, she was... I mean...
Lie down.
You listen to your dentist.
Get.
Don't mess around with the
lie
dentist.
Lie down.
They've got the world in their hands, which is your mouth.
As well. She's great. She's in four ways.
Okay, well, I'm not afraid of the dentist anymore, which is
good.
Pretty cool.
Bucket list.
Bucket list.
Well done.
The other thing that's happened over the last couple of days, and I'm sure you've all seen it because it's all over our social media.
Oh, my goodness gracious.
Have you seen it?
I'm getting so irritated.
You even know what I'm talking about.
Like the first line, I'm like, oh, please. And then I just flip up. I can't.
So if you guys don't know what's going on, there is a Facebook privacy notice that's going around that everybody's copying and pasting as their status.
Mm-hmm.
Because apparently if you put things in your status, it'll protect you from,
yes.
I don't know.
Apparently all your stuff is going public. So that was the whole thing. I read it once and I was like.
Yeah, but you can't say apparently because it's not even true.
I know. But I'm saying apparently because it's not true.
Here's the thing, right? So it's got two different renditions.
Mm.
The one is deadline tomorrow.
Wow.
Everything you've ever posted becomes public from tomorrow. Even messages that you have deleted or the photos that are not allowed.
Oh,
it costs nothing for a simple copy and paste. Better safe than sorry. Channel 30 News talked about the change in Facebook's private policy. Blah, 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 blah. I do not give Facebook.
Do you know
wap,
what
wap, wap,
I was,
wap, blah,
what
blah,
I was
blah,
thinking
blah, blah.
Last night?
What?
I'm like, all these people that are copying and pasting, I'm like, what have you been doing?
Well, there's three things that come to mind. And the first is, when is tomorrow?
Exactly. There's
because
been
if,
a lot of tomorrows,
if,
hey?
If everybody's,
tomorrow started last week, didn't
if
it?
If everybody's status is, it's happening tomorrow, and you just keep posting it, then tomorrow, there was that song, tomorrow never comes. Literally, it never, ever, ever comes. Tomorrow will never come, because
no.
It will always be tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the first thought. The second is, have you ever watched Channel 13 News?
No.
Exactly. Channel 13 News doesn't exist. Ever. Anywhere. There is no Channel 13 News.
People are so gullible.
And the last is, in the status, which I didn't read now because I got bored, but it says, the content of this profile is private and confidential information. The violation of privacy can be punishable by law with this act, which is the Rome Statute. Do you know what the Rome Statute is?
What is that?
I Googled it because I was really interested. So the Rome Statute has got nothing to do with Facebook or privacy or policies. It is based on four core international crimes, which is genocide, crimes against humanity, war crimes, and crimes of aggression.
Oh,
nothing to do with privacy, friends. So what have we learned? Not everything you read on the internet is true.
And don't be a sheep.
Bah. No, really. And it's a lot of people that are doing it. It's quite funny to see. One of my friends, Travis, he actually said, I can understand if the older folk are doing it because maybe you don't know. But if you're young.
Come on. Come on.
How many times has this been going around, man?
I know.
On social media.
Even this year.
It's funny. It's funny. Two more things I want to touch on. One, fees must fall. No, I'm not going to talk about everything that's happening in the country because we all know about it. It's on the news. We've been seeing it. It's incredibly sad. But here's something that's crazy. The recent fees must fall protests have gripped the country in a space of negativity and uncertainty. Mm. The violence has also spilled over into the streets, blocking off roads to hospitals, leaving property vandalized, people destitute, and even people injured.
Yes, and dying.
And dying.
It's terrible.
But there's always a ray of hope in times of distress, and South Africans really know how to support each other in times of need. This is one of those stories. So, a student has created this Facebook post and gathered so much support, so much support. His name's Phil. He's a civil engineering student at UCT, and one of the workers at UCT works for a place called Pandaland, which is food.
Yes.
Inside UCT. And because of all the protests, UCT campus has been closed. Mm. Eddie, who is the guy that works there, has had no income for like 2 or 3 weeks.
Oh,
nothing.
No.
So he got kicked out of his house. He got kicked out of his flipping house. And Phil, the student, was walking past and he like bumped into Eddie wherever they were on campus or whatever was going on. I don't think it was campus because campus has been closed out. So he bumped into him and he said, Eds, boy, how's things going? And Eddie went, I'm not so good, man.
No.
I've lost my house. I don't have money for food. I was living from week to week. And now, because the campuses are closed, I don't have an income. So I've moved into a shelter. And none of my stuff is safe. It's not safe in the shelters. And he's quite scared for his life. So Phil, the student, he was like, Boo, I have an extra room in my apartment.
Aww.
Come and stay with me until all of this blows over. Like, I'm sure my girlfriend won't mind. We'll just all housemate together.
Oh, you see.
And Eddie came and stayed with him for it was like 3 weeks now.
I love stories like
that. And every morning, Eddie, even though he couldn't go to the campus to make food and sell it at the store, he took some of his products, so like chips and cigarettes and stuff, and he went to the train station to go sell it in rush hour at 5:30 in the morning. But it's not enough money, right? So, because he's not established and he doesn't actually have a shop. So, 3 weeks go by and Phil's like, you see, I've got my parents coming. I need the room or whatever, Eds. But I'm not leaving you destitute.
Mm.
So he put in a post on Facebook going, guys, I'm looking for a bit of cash for Eddie. We need like 2,500 rand to put him up into a backpacker's lodge for a month.
Get him
where
back on his
he'll
feet.
Have his own space. Yes. His stuff will be safe just until these protests are over and he can get back to his rental apartments, whatever. And he put it up on Facebook. And within 2 days, he had 5 times the amount needed.
What?
So Eddie's well
That's
looked
amazing.
After. And Eddie and Phil sat down and they were like, cool, now we got all this money. What are we going to do? So they said, let's help other people in the same situation. That's South Africa, Kerr.
Yes, it is.
That's the real South Africa.
Yes, it is.
We have all this uncertainty and sadness and crime and corruption and protest
Don't forget
in the
Ubuntu.
News. Man, there's good news stories out there. And we need to focus on them. We need to be sharing them. We need to be inspiring each other. Because that's the way we turn whatever around, whatever situation
it
is.
Do you know what? I think this is the beginning of the end.
Of what?
Of all this nonsense. Everything that's going on that's negative in our country, I think this is the beginning of the end.
I'm done with negativity.
Yes,
Hashtag no more negative. Well, I'm not negative anyway. I don't live in that space.
Me neither.
Ever, ever, ever. Lastly, want to touch on this. Oaks, we're in a drought.
Yes.
South Africa, I say this every week. Stop flipping watering your gardens. Stop wasting water. It's that simple. Even if you're using borehole water to
it's
do your irrigation,
it's
guys. Still water that is a scarce resource that is disappearing.
It comes from the same place.
So Joburg Water have stepped it up a bit and they've now got a hotline that you can report people. If you see somebody watering their garden or wasting water, click a pic of it and tweet at Joburg Water. They will investigate it.
Ooh la la.
Done. Done. And you know what they should do? Houses that are doing that, I mean, they can't find them. It's not, but raise their prices. You want to pay for water. It's a precious resource. Fine. Water your garden, but pay more.
I read an article this morning, actually, about an informal settlement in Rustenburg. And all the places around them obviously have clean water. But these guys are spending about 100. I mean, when they're earning 900 rand a month, they're spending between 100 and 200 rand a month on drinking water because their borehole is contaminated. It's terrible. I mean, we must put that article up. Maybe we can do something about it.
Okay, Kay, you could write that. That's your second article you have to write. I'm still waiting for the first.
What was that one?
I don't remember. But I'm going to go listen to our past shows because you and I had a full-on discussion. What?
Today is my Cliff Central Good Stuff-iversary. My 1 year.
I heard a rumor on this day that it is your birthday. That's the Spurs song. That's cool. Happy happy
Good Stuff-iversary.
Good Stuff-iversary. You know, you having you on the show for the past year has been such a cool journey. I feel like
I was wondering why people were congratulating me, and I'm like, what? It's that time. It's that time. It's
a
whole
year.
I know, right?
And we've done so much in a year.
Huge.
We've helped people. We've told cool stories. We've been part of the CEO sleep out.
Aww.
We've gone to charity days. We've gone to gala. Oh my goodness, gala dinners. We've done the most amazing things.
I know. People thought we were in like together in a relationship.
That was just for a short moment.
Yes, just until we stopped it.
We nipped that in the bud. But that's really cool. And I love having you on the show, matey.
Thanks.
It's cool that we can sit and chat good stuff together.
Thank you.
Every week we do chat good stuff.
Yes,
and this week is no different. We look for the trending top 5 good news stories in South Africa and the world. And we bring them to you right here on the show so that you got better things to talk about.
Yes.
Man. Kerry?
Yeah?
Kerry searches for them, so she has to do all the work for this. What do we have at number 5?
South Africa makes list of top luxury travel destinations for 2016. So, how many was it? It was 196 global countries and we made the top 11.
Jeepers.
How about that,
But, okay, so there's a couple of reasons here.
Yes.
One, because South Africa is so amazing.
It is. It's beautiful.
And sometimes we forget how cool it is to live here. The other side of that is other countries are making really stupid decisions. So their currencies are not looking great. So they need to go to places where they can spend a little bit more. If you think of what happened with Brexit, we've become the number one travel destination for UK people, from people from the UK.
But you know what as well? I mean, if you're South African, travel South African, travel our country first.
Oh, I agree to that profusely.
Yes.
Like, go for it.
People haven't even been to Durban, but they'll go overseas.
Mm-mm.
Telling you, guys, get to know our country. It's really beautiful.
You know what? I'm lucky enough to be able to travel. So I get to go to all different places around South Africa.
Yes.
I mean, we were speaking to Francois van Cook last week.
Yes.
And he goes and gigs at Mystic Boer in Bloemfontein.
I've
been there, man.
Tiny little
I've been there. Like, I got to travel. South Africa has got so many gems that
it's
we should
so
really, really be proud of and, you know, support our own travel industry, methinks.
Definitely.
If not, once you've supported our own travel industry, we've also got the opportunity to go overseas. So we're lucky enough to live in the land of milk and honey, where we can go to Cape Town in June, and by December we can go skiing in the Alps or whatever.
And to add to that, our number 4.
Oh, so since we're talking about travel, we're going to get in our number 4 story.
Number 4. Here's where South Africans can travel without a visa.
So this, I mean, cool story. The reason why it's cool is because people moan a lot. They're like, South African passports, I can't go anywhere.
Yep.
I need a visa for everything. And I was even moaning when I went on my recent trip. I needed a Dubai visa, a Schengen visa, an English visa, just to travel for like 3 weeks.
Lots and lots of visas for lots and lots of money.
Yeah, visas are expensive as well. That's a problem, man. So this is a list of 90 countries, 90 places where you can travel right now to get a visa immediately, plus 30 other places where you get a visa on arrival.
On arrival.
So can you name like a couple?
Okay.
Just a few.
Okay, so we've got Argentina, Bahamas, Barbados. I'll go
Bahamas.
Fiji, Ireland, Israel, Jamaica, Paraguay, Peru. Goodness, Swaziland, Tanzania, Tunisia, Zambia, Zimbabwe.
Thailand. Thailand's on the list as well.
So, Kosovo, I mean, Lesotho, Malawi.
I would go to Fiji or the Bahamas. I'd be in there.
Bahamas.
Mm-hmm. Very cool. That's number four. We're going to put up the whole list up online so that you guys can see and plan your next holiday and save some visa costs.
People should do that more. Go on holiday.
When they're not working, just go on holiday. Yes. What do we have at number three?
Thuli Madonsela will continue to protect the public even without the title.
I started the show with this.
I love her.
She's not going anywhere. She might not have that title of public protector anymore, but she's still protecting the public.
Yes, she is. And she's taking a sabbatical for a year.
And she deserves it, eh?
Shoo, that lady's worked hard.
I say give Thuli the year off.
What that lady's been through this year, I mean, she's had, like, her life has been in danger.
Can I just say that Advocate Madonsela, yes, I love her.
She's my hero.
She's my hero too. And the strangest thing is she sees all.
I know.
She knows exactly what's going on in this country. I went to that dinner at the Australian High Commissioner's house and she was there. And I almost became, for the first time in my life, like I've met Jessie J, and I've met Enrique Iglesias, and I've met really cool people. I've never ever gone into groupie mode. I saw Thuli Madonsela at this dinner, and she was sort of near me, but just at that weird distance where you can't say hello. It's like not close enough.
You're sort of looking at each other.
And I kept on looking at her. I was standing with Gareth and Caroline Stone. And we were standing chatting. And I kept on looking at a Thuli like a groupie. I was sort of like,
I need to get there. She's in the same room.
How do I get her attention? I just need to get her attention so we can just look at each other and say hi.
Lock eyes
and whatever. And I slowly made myself, I slithered towards her like a creep.
Stalker.
A stalker. And at some point during this process, our eyes caught. And I was like, it's now or never, boy.
Go, do it.
You got to go do it. And I turned around properly and I put my hand out and I said, Advocate Madonsela, you are my hero.
Oh, I've got goosebumps.
And I'm just so incredibly thankful for everything you do for our country.
She looked at me and
she went,
Brent,
call me Thuli. And I was like, what?
She was probably like, this is famous guy in the room. I need to get there. I need to see him. I just don't know how.
Thuli Madonsela knows my name, boo.
Yeah.
It was really flippin' cool.
She's really, really beautiful.
So I'm glad. The story is that she's going to take on law and she's just going to do good things for civil society in South Africa. And that means the world to us. And we are thankful for everything that you do. And if I see you again, I will call you Advocate Madonsela again. And I will tell you that you are my flippin' hero. And South Africa's. You are a shining star.
We love you.
We love you, Thuli. We're going to put that story up online so you can actually read it and see what she's doing. What do we have in number two?
Student wants science to fall. Internet responds perfectly. Wow.
So this has been trending since last week.
Yes, it has.
So this is Stelis, a UCT student. Mm-hmm. She stood up and they were at this debate and they were talking about like how to make universities better. And I like that the conversation's being had.
Yeah.
But this girl stood up and maybe it was taken out of context, whatever. She said something really silly. And the internet agrees, majority. I've had a bit of backlash.
Yes.
So I wrote the story. Mm. And out of I got about almost 2,000 comments on all the different pages. Out of the 2,000, there were three.
Sure.
Three people that just, they were like, I don't agree with this video. I don't agree with how people are slating her. Like, she's misunderstood and she means something. But here's what I was highlighting, right?
Mm.
South Africans know how to laugh at ourselves. We know how to take a situation and actually go, man, that's pretty funny.
Silly.
That's pretty funny.
What are you doing?
So the articles that we wrote was more about the funny side. I get it. Decolonization is a thing. We need to be inclusive of everybody's opinions and ideas. I tweeted, I mean, my tweet's there. I put it in there. Yeah. But I believe in what I tweeted.
Isn't education about knowing more, learning more? Isn't it about getting perspectives from everywhere and then formulating your own opinion? That's science in itself.
Well, that's education. So it doesn't matter. And I get what this girl is saying, is that we need to be learning about each other's cultures. I don't say remove other ideas and opinions, yes, but add everybody's opinion in so we can have a more educated idea, a better idea about what the world is about.
Exactly.
It'll make us more educated and we'll be able to understand each other a little bit better. So I get it. I don't say science must fall.
Mm-mm.
I say science must grow. Exactly. We need to learn all different opinions, all different cultures, and add them in a mixing pot, and then we've got a better understanding of the world.
But that's also, it's education on education and why it's important.
It is important, yo. Number one, again, we're going to put all of these stories up online. So the video that goes with that story, they've taken her her video.
Yes.
And they've mashed it up with Kevin Hart, which is quite funny. So we'll put that up online so that you can read it and watch and see all these things. What do we have at number one?
Capetonian bully video goes viral. South Africans say no and call for her to publicly apologize.
So the reason we put this up here is not because of the bully video. It's because of the reaction. So understand,
Africans are standing together.
As we should and as we do. A little girl made a terrible mistake by putting that silly video online. I mean, you can, the video got taken off.
Yes.
There are still some people that have the video.
Yeah.
But if you read just at the top here, it gives you a description of what the video like was sort of about without being crass.
Yeah. Okay, Stu. The video has had 150,000 views in a short time after being uploaded. It showed a young girl using vulgar language while threatening a 14-year-old named Lauren, who allegedly attends Groeteskuur High School in Cape Town. About halfway through the clip, she warns Lauren that the bully would be waiting for her on return to school on the first day of the new term. The mean girl warns the victim that she knows where she lives, revealing that her step-grandmother is a police officer. She then ends the clip suggesting that the victim gets police to escort her home, or she'll assist her by escorting her to the grave.
Yeah, those words, right? How disgusting. So she posted the video online. Some DJ down in Cape Town put it on his Facebook.
Aiden Thomas from Heart FM.
That's it. It was all over the place and people were watching it. And a couple of hours later, he removed it because he believes in bringing people together, yes, and she needs to be helped. Also, Twitter had their way with him. They were like, you're a celebrity. Why did you put that video up?
Yeah.
I've said, and it's something that I've learned over the past year with Good Things Guy, and you never, ever, ever capitalize on tragedy.
No.
You do not do it. It's
and
not.
And that's the thing as well. I mean, I got a notification from my primary school the other day to say that they're having a social media talk, and that there's actually a lawyer that deals in social media. It's a very, very big problem, and these kids need to be educated on how to use social media and what's right and what's wrong.
I agree completely, and we can only hope that people do get a little bit educated. That's it for the top five.
Yes.
It's not the end of our show, guys.
No, it's
so
definitely not.
So don't switch off anything. We've still got lots of good stuff to get through. It's just the end of the top five. All of those stories get put online straight after the show. So
and
if you
so
visit,
many more.
There are so many more, but if you visit www.cliffcentral.com and you look for the Good Stuff page, which is found under Tuesdays, you will find all of the correlating stories as well as any information relating to our guests,
yes,
who are going to be in the studio in a little bit. The Good Stuff on Cliff Central.
Whatever your term of endearment for your prize rod,
four banger, four by, barge, beamer, beater, Benz, big rig, bike, breezer, chori, chopper, clunker, crush rocket, genka, ghetto cruiser, hog, hobdy, hypermiler, jalopy, junker, combi, lambo, land barge, pimple, pocket rocket, paddle jumper, render rock scoot, shagging wagon, shitbox, sled, tank, warrant wagon, whoopee!
There's only one place to visit if you're looking to buy a new vehicle. Autotrader.co.za. With simple navigation and over 62,000 cars to choose from, it's a no-brainer. Visit autotrader.co.za today and find your next set of wheels.
The Good Stuff on Cliff Central. We're back. So every week we get to bring people in studio that are just inspirational and doing really cool things for South Africa and the world. I mean, the people that we've had in the studio are always exciting to speak to because they've got stories that fill me with inspiration.
Definitely.
And this week's no different. Michael Stevens from Jumping Kids has joined us in studio. We actually played a WhatsApp from him, a little voice note, about 3 or 4 weeks ago when the Paralympics were on. He's part of Jumping Kids, which is a registered nonprofit that provides prosthetic solutions to those who need it most. Disadvantaged children and some of those incredible kids. And they were part of the Paralympics, man. It's great to have you here, Michael. I'm going to switch on your microphone, otherwise no one's going to hear you. Great to have you here, Michael.
Thank you very much, friends.
It's flippin' cool to have you in studio. Like I said, you did send a WhatsApp before when you were at the Paralympics, and we're going to get to what that was like, because I can only imagine...
We were excited sitting here.
Well, the feedback of the country, we'll get into that in a bit. Jumping Kids, give us an idea. What is it about? Just a brief of what Jumping Kids is about.
Sure. So we revolve around prosthetic limbs. We supply and maintain prosthetics to children, like you said, mainly from disadvantaged backgrounds. But within prosthetics, it's a really expensive issue faced by anyone. So the goal really is to make sure that children get the equipment, because if we can give the equipment to these kids, it means that they can get into school, mainstream schooling. They can then build a future for themselves. You know, school obviously leads into the other things as well, physicality, sport, all of those good things. You know, so that's the real goal, is to provide the mobility that allows for all of these other opportunities, gives access to them.
Well, that's the thing, right, is that if you're in need of prosthetics and you don't have the cat, how much does it cost?
Sure. Oh, it varies. Excuse me. So basically it works on where your amputation is. So if it's a below knee, it's easier than an above knee. Yeah. And an above knee is easier than a through hip. So that's the cost implications increase as you go higher up. Below knees are simpler, but the cost is still expensive if we're looking at quality equipment. I would say that you're not going to be able to get into something reasonable for less than 25,000 rand at the moment.
That's insane.
Exactly. And for me, that's part of my bigger vision around this. When I got involved in Jumping Kids, you know, there was that I'm going to do good, I'm going to raise money, we're going to help kids. And then as I got in, it became clear that just raising money is not the way to do this. You actually have to attack the whole system and figure out how to structure it so that you get better cost efficiencies, more people available to do it, et cetera, so that you can bring those costs all the way down and have a greater impact.
The prosthetics themselves, is each one custom made? Because I couldn't imagine that an amputation or a loss of a limb could be identical in every case. No, so exactly. Are they quite custom?
They're completely custom. I mean, the biggest thing there is around the socket. So the socket is going to be individual for each individual amputee, and that is purely custom and made by the prosthetist at each individual fitment. So the rest of the stuff can be recycled. That's where you can get cost efficiencies. So we can look at recycling the feet and the components. But the socket is going to be individual, and I would recommend that that's done once a year for an amputee. And
does it change? Does your
all the time. You fluctuate all the time according to heat and your activity level and all sorts of things. So there are ways to manage it, but that again goes into how we need to be thinking about this, because like I say, we should be fitting an amputee once a year with a new socket so that it does stay comfortable, because if it's comfortable, then they use it. My worst fear is that you give somebody equipment and then the socket becomes uncomfortable and 6 months later they're not using something that's cost a fortune just because the socket's not functional. Exactly. You understand why they're not using it. I understand why they're not using it, but yes, it would be a quick fix for me to say, especially with the way we do things, I could get somebody in and within 2 hours I can fix the socket and have them walking away.
Yes.
You know, so why are we continuously creating these problems in the system where somebody can have something amazing but he can't use it because one part of it's not comfortable and ineffective?
Well, that's, I mean, that's why there's people like you in the position that you're in, that you're there creating this change to get to the point where we're helping the people that need it most. What inspired you to get involved with Jumping Kids?
So I'm an amputee myself. I'm a double amputee. I was involved in an accident when I was a kid, and I was very fortunate because I had family support and, you know, school support and all of those things. So when I said I want to do something, people got out the way and kind of let me do it, which is very rare. When you're a child in this situation, often you're just facing unachievable barriers. You can't get over these things, you know, whether it's a cost or a support. So I got to a point when I was 26, 27, I had, you know, gone to school, gone to university, I'd seen the world, I'd had huge adventures, I'd done all the things you were meant to do as a normal person. And I got to a point where I realized that, you know what, as much as they were a great success, and none of them, nothing would have been achievable without the equipment. Yeah. And I had hit a point where I actually ran into a bit of trouble and I couldn't get a prosthetic for a while.
Yes.
And it triggered a whole lot of thoughts about, if I'm in this situation as a educated, privileged person, then what happens to a child who has none of that framework? How do they escape the circle? You know, because it is going to be one of those things where you can't get the equipment, so you can't go to school. You can't go to school, you don't get an education. You don't get an education, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. They're not going to fix.
Yeah, I mean, especially if it's affected you some way, then it's usually those people that try to make a difference.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, I had to face a lot of this kind of journey with the support, but by myself. Mm. You know, I used to go to Germany once a year to get my prosthetics done because I realized that the cost was the same and the quality was much better. So rather go there and do it right than stay here and fight with people.
Yes.
And then it got to a situation where that's not achievable anymore because now I don't have a leg. How am I going to get there? You know, and. So it became this thing of, how do I fix it? And like I said, I started out with a view that, let me raise money and help the kids that were in the system already. Johan Snaders, he's a prosthetist and he started the organization. And I got involved with him while I was training for London to try and make the Paralympics there. And it just became this thing where the evolution of, as I got more into it, I kind of realized, well, I'm the perfect person to deal with this type of stuff. You know, I have the history in this. I understand above knee, below knee. I understand all these things. Now, how do I attack it in a way that I can change the system? Because the system is flawed.
Wow.
You know, it's one of those things where I can raise millions of rands and not deal with it. Whereas if I attack the system and I raise the same amount of money, the impact is greater. And there is a chance, I believe, that we can fix this. There's no reason why we should have people waiting for limbs for 3 years.
And I love that positivity and that what's the right word? Is that you're passionate. That's exactly what it is. It's passionate. How many kids are currently part of Jumping Kids? Well, how many?
Like, sure. So we've fitted over 100 kids over the last 7 years. But what we do is we keep them in the system for 2 years minimum. So my goal is actually never to let them go. Once you're in, I want you to finish school and then we'll deal with that once we get there, you know. But the real thing is to make sure they finish school because that gives them an opportunity and a chance.
And
you could almost start building an alumni. So once you've been in the program and then you go off you study and you become successful, then you can almost become a mentor to someone else who's going through these things
with
the child.
That's exactly it. I'm trying to replace myself with all the other kids. So.
And they have the same opportunities. I mean, just because you're differently able doesn't mean that you can't do what everybody else is doing.
Yeah, and they'll have their own unique skills and things that they can bring to it, you know. So it is. It's about creating that alumni, but also creating a world where we look at amputees and we realize that they can do lots of stuff. You know, don't just be impressed by the sporting stuff. For me, real life is harder than the Olympics. The Olympics is great, but real life is hard.
So my dad, when I was in high school, my dad was in a bike accident and he lost his left arm. And it was amazing to see how he adapted, but so super quickly. Kerry, when we're done with the show, and if any of my listeners are listening, go just try button your pants with one arm. It's really difficult. And my dad managed to live a life where he was tying his shoelaces and still riding bikes, and eat
with my feet because there's people with no arms.
So it's just being differently abled.
Just, yeah.
Are you guys just based in Joburg or are you sort of nationwide?
Well, our biggest footprint is in Gauteng, but we're nationwide. So again, using the technique we use for sockets and all of those things, we can manufacture the prosthetic without being in any kind of formal structure. We can use battery tools. We can do everything mobile, which is why we know that we can go into Africa and solve it there as well, and why we see alternative revenue models and a whole other business that gets structured from that. So that's why I'm at Gibbs studying social entrepreneurship with that view that I believe, that we can create a business that it's a social enterprise where you develop solutions that some people can pay for because they have some affordability. And the fact that they pay for it then subsidizes all the people who can't afford it. And we develop a business that solves the issue but has sustainability in it because, like I say, raising the funding, you're just not going to be able to dent the issue.
Yeah.
Not at all. In these circumstances, though, and especially now that the Paralympics are finished, you guys have got a bit of exposure because of it. I know that Ntando was there and he's part of Jumping Kids, which is just absolutely amazing. What was the Paralympics like to be in that eclectic environment?
Well, it was the first time I was in South America. I traveled to a lot of other places, but the first time in Rio. And, I mean, it really did live up to its reputation. Rio is an amazing place. Yeah. The people are fantastic, super friendly. They're really bought into it all. So if you were lost or needed help, there was somebody there who was going to point you in the right direction and make you really want to go back. The vibe was amazing. It was great that they started to incorporate the country and the population more and bringing them in and giving some free tickets away so that we filled up some of the stadiums, especially yeah. around the athletes. You know, it just builds up everything so much more. I must say that they're very patriotic. So if you're Brazilian and you're in the race, you're going to get the biggest scream you've ever heard. And then it goes very quiet after that. You know, I understand it, but I think that, it would be nice if we could have filled it and the stadium just went nuts for everybody all the yeah. time. But yeah, it was amazing. The vibe was amazing. The results for a lot of the people who went there to do what they were going to do, it's the Paralympics, were great. So yeah, just a really great experience. And then from a personal capacity, obviously it was something that we had been working towards with Ntando. You know, the background to that, having a 14-year-old trying to make the Paralympics has a lot of background to it that people won't understand. Mm. I mean, things like you have to get an IPC number and you're not allowed to get one until you're 16.
Yes.
So how do you get that to happen? And how yeah. do you do it? It's very tricky. So a lot of background went in to get in there. And obviously he had to put in the work and run the times and do what he did to do it. By the time he had qualified, I knew that he had a medal potential. You know, sure. he is that good. He has got that much potential. I mean, my view is that in the next 4 years, if he grows and just does what he does and is himself, then I can't see how anybody's going to touch him in Tokyo. He's that fast. He's got that much potential, not just in athletics. He's that athletic generally. He has great balance. He's strong. He's very willing to be involved in everything. So
dedicated.
You know, completely.
From what we saw from this side and yeah. how the media portrayed him.
Completely.
When I was 14, I don't even think I did went to school consistently. Like, for a 14-year-old to be so dedicated yeah. and to be the eye on the ball, that he knows what he's doing and he's going to get it.
Well, exactly. He embraced the whole idea. You know, I mean, he came from a situation where he had been in a wheelchair. We met him at a disabled school. He came to a clinic that we had at Steve Biko, and then the process. And from day one, he's been part flourished. Of that process. You know, it's been like, okay, we think that if you amputate this, that, and the next, that would be the best, you know, solution for you. And a 14-year-old boy has taken that on, well, 10 at the time, he's taken that on. He's gone to his parents and said, sure. I want to amputate because these people have said that I can walk and run and do these things, and that's what I want to do. And then they've done it.
Oh, I think I'm going to cry.
You know, and then with his mother and his grandmother, the amazing sure. people, and then we've spoken to them and said, look, he's got great potential. He's a really smart kid. He's funny. He's strong. He should be in a mainstream school. We've been working with him for
so
now 2 years.
More for him.
Let's move him. We know what this is going to take. It's going to take him living with Johan. There's no hostels for primary school kids. So the only way to do it is what's for him to foster him for the week. So we've had, you know, his mother and his grandmother buy into this plan and do everything they can do. Then Johan do everything he can do. And Tundle do everything he can do. It's become this whole building process. And that's what gets you to the Paralympics.
Amazing.
Man, that is, it's so inspirational to hear how, because of your organization, someone has been given an opportunity that they might have never have had. And as modest as you can be, that is the reality, is that you guys were a part of this thing that he's got a silver flipping medal at yeah. the Paralympics, and 4 years ago he was in a wheelchair in a disabled school.
Totally. But this is, you know, the proof of concept. So this is what we're saying, is that if we can supply kids, even extreme amputees, because he's a double above knee amputee, it's what I would term quite extreme.
Wow, that is.
If you can supply them with the right kind of equipment, if you can say to them, you have potential, you go to this mainstream school, do this, do that, you know, and you can do amazing things and build a future, it's very possible. Mm. This guy has just done it in 4 years. You know, he's overachieved dramatically. But we
that
have other
massive.
Kids in the program who could do the same thing with the same kind of support. I just can't put all of them into your hands house because his wife will lose her mind.
With regards to funding, I mean, where do you guys get your funding
yeah.
from?
So I target corporate funding mainly. I do CSI work. So I work with big corporates and look for bulk funding so that we can do big projects or cover maintenance over a long period of time. Because like I said, I want it to be a year, 2 years where the kid knows that if you have an issue, it's done. So yeah, big corporates is mainly, we do get buy-in from individuals who are very generous and donate to us as well. And then events. and things like that. I look for any opportunity to find a way to do things. So at the moment, I'm part of an innovator award, which would then, that's more for the social entrepreneurship side,
yes,
to develop the business. Mm-hmm. And if I am successful there, the first prize is over R1 million. And it goes all the way down.
Wow.
You know, so that's to develop the business then, which would be, it's crucial, because one of the really challenging things about nonprofit work is your restricted versus unrestricted income. You know, yes, we'll give you money to, to do the work, but then who is going to do the work is the problem, because you know, there's no money for that. So these are the things that as a nonprofit in this country and probably worldwide, you have to work through and figure out tricks and the ways to make it work so that you can deliver on your mandate.
So at the beginning of this interview, you mentioned how much, I'm going to call them normal day-to-day prosthetics costs.
Yeah.
What is a pair of blades cost? Because that's a different story, right?
Yeah, totally. Okay, so blades were designed for athletics. Okay, it's an elite thing. I would say again, a basic athletic blade at my cost, not retail cost, would be R30,000 for one. And then it goes all the way up
for one leg.
For one blade. That's not the socket. That's not any of the components.
Oh,
that's just the blade.
The bottom.
Just the blade. Just the bit that compresses and shoots people forward. So, I mean, but that can go all the way up again. And we're looking at retail cost for somebody, you know, off the street, medical aid who wants one, can be like R60,000-R70,000 for the blade. Yeah. So it's really the costing in this. I look at it the same way as pharmaceutical style pricing, where you know, you'd go to the treatment action campaign and their issue over HIV drugs and antiretrovirals, and why are these so expensive when they've been around and thought of for ages? Surely we've hit a point where there should be a generic, and then that generic should have a generic, and you know, we should be solving the issue. I have the same issues within the prosthetic pricing and how it's done. So that's part of my, again, fight in the system.
So the reason I mentioned that is because we've told this beautiful story of Ntando and where he came from and what he did. But for our listeners, they need to understand that there's a lot more costs involved than just a day-to-day prosthetic. If you're looking at the Paralympics, and I want everybody to remember the pride that we had when we were watching the Paralympics. I believe that the Paralympics, from a South African point of view, were bigger than the Olympics. We really got involved.
I agree.
We, here at the show, we were just talking about everybody's
every
stories.
Tuesday.
Every Tuesday, we were bringing it all up. It was really, really exciting.
Yes.
And the sort of engagement that I saw around it was pretty phenomenal. Those things matter because for this kid who's 14 years old, he's got another 4 years to train, and then we're going to be behind him again.
You've changed his life.
And if you want to get behind other kids in the same situation, here's your flipping opportunity, man. Jumping Kids is a place that's really changing lives, which is quite phenomenal.
Yeah, and so thank you very much, obviously, for what you said. That's very kind. But yeah, I mean, I agree. And I think that in 4 years, he can go and do, you know, the next big thing and grab gold and probably grab multiple gold at that point. What we said to him is that for now, he actually doesn't need to do anything. Mm-hmm. You know, training's done. It was intense to get to Rio. And once we got to Rio, now you can be a kid, you know, go and do
focus
all the things you have to do.
And
yeah, get
and
through exams.
And
you know, he's got to go into a new high school next year. And there's all sorts of things to figure out. So go and figure those things out.
It's going to be a little bit different for him now because he's almost famous, right? So getting back to school.
It's a challenge. It is a real challenge. I mean, you know, and people sometimes don't understand that he's 14. You know, you're getting requests for him to come, please be a part of our interview on Sunday night at like 10 o'clock.
Not
like,
going to happen.
What?
He's in bed.
Yeah. Or during school, you know, come to a breakfast for this. And you're like, guys, he's 14, he's in school. There's no way. So,
Crazy. So
there's a lot going on. He's got a great head on his shoulders. I think he's got a good support system around him. And yeah, he'll figure it out.
Well, we're excited to watch that whole process and to watch you guys and see what you're up to and hopefully get involved wherever we can. You mentioned going up into Africa and sort of helping people out who are disadvantaged in the more African community. What else is next for the organization?
Okay, so it's the Innovator Awards are the next big things, and that's going to be the kickoff into the social entrepreneurship venture, where we're looking then to look at how do we make everything more cost effective? How do I get people access to this stuff? So that's going to be, we're going to be training. The goal is to train prosthetists in our technique and to upskill them so that they would be able to then set up in a micro franchise around the country. So we'd have a division in each province. That's where, that way it's easy to send somebody to somebody who's qualified and qualified in what we're going to do. Mm. And then we'd also have a quality assurance coming from Johan and the central structure. I'd then be looking at how do I make the procurement side of things and all of that work, business stuff, so that things are cheaper. And then to go into Africa, we'll start by being mobile. You know, so we get together, let's say five of the people we've trained plus Johan, we go in, we could go pick Angola, you know, and we deal with corporates and the states, we get funding for it, and we go in there over 2 weeks, we fit 20, 30 people. You start developing a pattern. So we say, okay, we've done those, we'll come back in 6 months. You guys can come back, but bring 10 more. And then next month we go to Mozambique, and the month after that we go to Kenya. And you can just start doing it like that, where once every 6 months the team is there.
Yeah.
And you've created the jobs, you've created the framework, you've created all these things, and then there's all the knock-on effects from the amputees.
Well, it's exciting, and I think you guys have got a good case study, and I hate saying the word case study, but it almost is, because you've done this, and it's something that we can do for other kids as well, who can really just achieve great things in their lives. If there's corporates or if there's individuals that are listening right now, I want you to get involved, because it's important. And if they want to get involved, where do they go? What do they do?
Okay, so all the social media is obviously available with Jumping Kids, and then our website is www.jumpingkids.org.za. Contact details are there. My contact details are there. You're more than welcome to email me, michael@jumpingkids.org.za, and yeah.
It's that flippin' easy. I'm going to put all of those, the links and the details up onto the Good Things Guy page. So Good Stuff page, so that you can get hold of it after the show. That has been the Good Stuff for this week. It's an hour that's just disappeared. Thank you so much for being on the show. And thank you for all that you do.
Thank you for the support in Rio. Super
inspirational,
man.
It's super inspirational. I say this every week. We need to stay motivated. We need to inspire others. We're in this together. And the only way we'll get through whatever this is together. I'm going to leave you with this for this week. A positive mindset matters. Cut away the negativity and nonsense. Cultivate an environment conducive to your personal well-being. Forgive yourself and others. Have the courage to move on. Focus on the good stuff. Celebrate life. To truly live, celebrate each day of life. Let each day be a festival of positivity, happiness, and joy. That's it for this week, eh?
Okay, I know you're my anniversary.
It's our anniversary on The Good Stuff. We love having you here. If you guys want to get more shows, if you want to get more information, just visit the cliffcentral.com page. Everything is there. Or Brent Lindicke or Kerry Stain. It's that easy, right?
Yes.
Have a terrific Tuesday, yo.
Thanks for listening. Cliffcentral.com.